The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome to The Real Pod. Huge episode. We've just finished watching the finale of Celebrity Treasure Island 2023B. And we have now with us in the studio the winner, a corny.
A real life one.
A real life corny is James Masterpick.
Oh my gosh. Bonjour.
He's a winner, baby.
In a weird twist, you know, this is a reminiscent of another gay comedian who won this show before, who also co-hosted an episode during the season with us.
This is true.
Chris Parker did the same thing.
I was about to ask, like an imbecile, did you know then that you'd won?
Well, you know, I've been sending Jane so many lies.
He's been shocking.
Were you surprised when I won or no?
I really hoped it to be true, but you had well and truly put me off this end.
Great.
You did a really good job. I actually thought Courtney was going to win. I'm sorry, Courtney.
I was so convinced that it wasn't James because James had been so vocal and had been on this podcast and had been all around the place that I was like, surely he would have spilled a secret, you know? The fact you were able to keep it all under wraps, it must have been destroying you.
Thank you. Well, my strategy was just tell people so many fake spoilers that, you know, if a real one comes out, they won't know if it's real.
He would be in my DM saying, oh, did you watch the show, The Screeners, yet? Are you sad? Knowing that I hadn't seen them, being like, are you sad that I went home? Did you cry? And then he was like, no, just kidding. I go home tomorrow night. And then it would be like, no, just kidding. It's next bit. And I was just completely discombobulated.
That's a good bit.
And then we got to the end.
Yay!
And you unlocked and you won. The bloody treasure.
I know. What the hell?
Well, how long were you on those safes? Because none of you appear to know how to operate a safe pad, one of those padlocks.
No.
Like, at all. You could still be there.
Yeah. It was a very long time. I lost all of my lead. And I felt so stupid because Bree, like, stands behind you, like, in case you're going to get it. But then, so I knew I was there at the right safe, but then also I was like, it was just humiliating.
How do those clicky things work? Because like I immediately watched it and was like, I have anxiety about if I'm ever stuck in a situation like this. Very unlikely. But what did you learn about the, does it make a little noise? Do you know when you're onto the right code?
No, it was just, I don't know, I can't even remember. You just have to turn it to the right number and then go around, I don't know.
You go like one way then the other way, right, from the movies that I've seen.
Oh, it was just so bloody well done. And I was surprised to see gold bullions, but I guess that's part of the new vision for CTI, not the printout money.
But also just we swipe at the traitors as well with their silver.
Oh, true.
Yes.
That's a good pickup.
Just reminding everyone where they sit in the pecking order of reality television in New Zealand.
I took home a few of those gold. What did you call them?
Polystyrene. Gold spray-painted polystyrene?
Yeah. Well, no, they were hard. Yeah. Right. So I can bring one in for you guys if you like.
Oh, my golly. It's a real-life gold.
First touch of the treasure.
Okay, look. I can't believe you're the corny who won and not me. I can believe it.
I can believe it. I hate to say it.
It's ridiculous.
I was like, how long until Jane brings up?
I think I did quite...
Every pod.
I did quite well.
No, you didn't.
You were betrayed by the wind.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Redemption. CTI redemption.
James.
Yeah.
Do you run?
Well, not really, but I kind of, it's embarrassing to say, but last year I got into it and when I would run, sometimes I would think, imagine you're on CTI and keep going.
Because I was watching you and like those hills looked steep and they looked big. I don't know if they did some kind of weird force perspective thing, but because I was just like, and this is no disrespect to either your Courtney, I just, Toria seemed to be like a physical beast.
Yes,
like
she had abs.
She, but everything, she was just doing those pull-ups like it was nothing. Like she was just, I was like, okay, if it's that's a thing, then. But then I just saw you just like you were floating like a gazelle. Like it was like gravity didn't apply to you.
Thank you. Well, I went to the gym for 1 month before.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
Anyone can win.
So
no,
you're a
sorry.
Gym that, gay. Is that.
That sounds really terrible. I'm like, I am. Here's the evidence that literally anyone can win Celebrity Treasure Island. But I did feel like they were very, it did feel like anyone's game so much more this season than previously. The top three, like an electric top three, honestly, so great. I would have been happy for anyone to win. More happy for you to win, of course, thank have to you, say Jane. It. But. You know, it was just, I can't say that I've felt that every single season.
We were, I can't remember, it was maybe like top 7 or 8. We were like, us three were like, we would be the dream top three. So it was so nice.
So there's a public facing alliance thing, but there's also some like quiet, like behind whisper behind the hand alliance.
A little bit. I did wonder if it was going to come out on TV and then I'd have to apologise. But Blimmin' Eli was going on to Jordan. He wanted him in his top. Four or whatever, so.
Wow.
Can we just quickly talk about Jordan?
Yeah.
What did you think?
Look, I found him scary to watch when I was there. I'm sure, I wasn't in his camp, so I'm sure he let his guard down at some points, but every time we saw him, we were scared.
That's why it was like, it surprised me that a comedian, let alone the great Eli Mathewson, famously like normal, cool person, would be sort of ensnared.
Yeah, totally.
But someone said, like, think of what I learned from Jordan. Think of what I learned from, who was that who said that in the final?
I was going to ask you, James, because I went back and revisited our chat a day before you entered the game, and you were talking about how you wanted to start a feud with somebody and how you wanted that person to be Steve Price. And then he ended up being your voice of wisdom.
True. Yeah. It's sad, but it's true. Steve Price, very nice guy. Not a bad word to say about the lad, unfortunately.
Have you got anything bad to say about anyone? Just while we're here, just the mates.
Look, I think, those who have received hate probably don't need any more. So
that's nice. You're so magnanimous now that you're the victor.
The high road.
Do you remember the Grant Lawson?
After the
remember
poll,
him?
We'll check. Yes.
Yeah, what's he up to now?
Don't know. Hope he'll send me a congrats.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Do you think I reckon this might be true, that you're the first like true student of the game, like a PhD in Celebrity Treasure Island to have carried away the bullion.
Oh, I think Maddie McLean would argue with you on that one.
Okay, that might be true. That's also true.
I've got nothing unique about me winning.
but I mean, do you think that the fact that you had like studied so hard, like helped you through the thing, and when you watch others stumble, you're like, just need to.
Yeah, I think it was really helpful just having Courtney and Tudia because they won so many challenges leading up to the final. Like every day, I was like, I'm going to go home today, and some days I was really depressed. So I was like, so be it. But every time they would win, I was like, right, made it another day. We'll just keep going, and so that was good. I think, knowing the show definitely helped, for sure.
It definitely helped you make a good telly show.
Thank you.
Like, I think, you knew what to deliver in the moments. You provided great television as well as just being, like, a very fierce competitor, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Did some great sandbag catapulting, You've Courtney. Held on to a thing over the water for the longest amount of time.
True.
All the important skills.
That sandbag thing looked real difficult. And did Courtney have an advantage by being in the middle?
Definitely.
Because you can't really aim at your own thing. You just have to aim at that blob of stuff.
It also seemed like really far away.
Yes.
Like, what was the real distance on that?
You really had to, like, go as far back as possible and, like, lean back. And my hands were, like, so cut up from doing it so many times.
Practical production question. Mm. You've got a limited number of sandbags there.
Yes.
Were there pauses to go and collect the sandbags?
Absolutely.
And that would have made it take even longer again. So how long did that whole bit take of the sandbags?
Oh, God, I don't know. An hour and a half maybe?
Wow. Yeah,
so what's the from like diving into the coldest water that's not frozen over, seemingly in your undies. Is everyone in their undies? Didn't feel like people were in their togs. To when you unlocked the safe, how long did that whole, was that a week? Like,
yeah, it's a long day, yeah.
And you're just going for it the whole time.
Mm.
You're right.
I was tired by, I kind of feel sad that I didn't cry when I won, but I think I was just too, I don't know, we were all cried out and I was, I don't know.
Even for next time. Do a fake, do they just like put cover your eyes so people can't tell that you're not crying? True. And then you can just like,
oh, that's
you know,
good actually.
That is, yeah, for next
maybe
time.
With a gold bullion.
A gold bullion up over your face.
I beat Sam Wallace in the winners' season.
Oh my god.
Is that,
oh god,
is that already been reprinted?
Yeah, was that
a big spoil?
Oh my god.
Oh, that would be a great show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like a little mini series.
Oh, so good. Just like, yeah. Yeah, production, you're listening, do that one. And redemption. So those are the two that you need to do. Thanks very much.
Can I ask about the yurt? Because that yurt looked like the most fun anyone has ever had, the most relaxing, beautiful scene.
It's not a yurt. It's not a yurt. It's a
well,
tent.
I'm just going by the language.
I know. I'm not criticizing you, but it's not a yurt.
What does a yurt mean
yurts
to be?
Yurts are round. There's a very specific
it's Glastonbury, isn't it? Isn't it like what Bridget Jones goes to in Bridget Jones 3 when she goes to Glastonbury? It's
round. I think that's also what the Mongolians have had for many centuries.
Counterpoint, yurt's fun to say, more so than a sort of wooden structure.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
Tell us about the yurt.
Sorry, tell us about it.
So, it was great. It was actually someone's Airbnb, I think, that they hired out.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's a legit escape. What?
Yeah,
wow.
I thought they'd built it for us, but clearly not. But yes, it was so lovely.
Because it was plumbed, wasn't it? It had like running water.
Yeah.
That toilet, would have been quite full on for them to build just for those
toilets.
Woo! And the love heart cut out of the doors. Like that. Yeah, that's really going above and beyond.
Yes, Courtney slept in there that night in the little
love hutch.
Yeah, she thought it would make her feel more safe because she was all alone. But then the next night when Tudia and I showed up, we all slept in single bunk beds in the little room just because we were like, last night, bestie sleepover.
Has that carried on? Because you sent me a picture of the three of you having a nice time.
Yes.
You're now like this. What are you? Are you a band? Are you a business? Are you a movement? What is the name of a collective of the three of you?
Oh, God, I don't know.
It just works?
Yeah, it just works.
Can you tell us what you're off to do after this? Or is that top secret?
Well, the Sedgies are going to go and get a tattoo. Never had a tattoo before, but why not? I don't know if I would have got it. Just a Sagittarius little symbol. If I had been betrayed by Eli and Laura, I don't think I would have got it. But because I've won, I'm like, well, better say yes.
Normally we recap the show, which we've gotten quite carried away because of you being here, and it's all very exciting. But earlier on in the week, Laura went home and she had an episode that was pretty rough. She was pretty desperate after she lost Eli, and it makes me wonder if she put too many eggs in one little Eli-shaped basket.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might be right. It was kind of her downfall when Tudia said, like, I don't know if Laura would be pitching a woman's alliance if Eli was still here. Mm. And yesterday I think Courtney and Tudia said that they might have done it if you know, Eli was still there.
That would have been very bad news for you.
Yeah,
it would have. You would not be sat here right now.
But the problem was, like, you couldn't really be like women's alliance because the elimination that night was like one person goes to the final, one person goes home. So you kind of had to be like, you couldn't put two men in there because one would go to the final. Courtney had her thing which never got played, her rematch card.
She should have done that at the end when you won the gold bullion.
Brilliant. We'll just close that up.
When Courtney did that incredible big energy move to take on Laura,
yeah,
were you flabbergasted? What was your emotional response?
I was, and now that I look at it, it was such a good move because, I mean, Nick was so good at endurance in the end. Yeah, I don't know. It was so good, and because she had a rematch as well. She had two chances.
That was the thing that I think would have given her the confidence, is knowing she had the rematch. But honestly, looking at that challenge when you go in and being like, okay, I think I've got this, that could have been anyone's.
Yeah.
Surely it's not the sort of thing where you're like, it's a puzzle, I'm good at puzzles, I'll nail this. It's like a piece of rope hanging.
Mm. Can I ask a question, James?
Yeah.
How close were you with Courtney before this season?
So we were good friends, but yeah, not super close. But I think I said this on the last pod, but we knew Laura and Eli would be besties and ride or die. So we were like, we need to be each other's ride or die. But it was more, you know, no one knew that we were ride or die, I guess. And Courtney did say she thought about betraying me. But yeah, it was nice.
She probably should have, when you think of the result.
Yeah.
But no one wants to know, you know? Although I do feel like you were underrated. Did you feel underrated throughout? Because you had these kind of big bruiser guys who were just like basically only looking at each other, just hard eyes. And James is just out here just sliding through and eventually winning.
True. I think, you know, I felt probably fairly rated. I wasn't thinking I'm a big three, I'm going to get these guys. But I did, I mean, I don't know if anyone, if Nick or Steve or anyone had won, I don't think me, Courtney or Tudia would have been any of their picks for who to put up, maybe. I don't know. But they, you know, Tudia and Courtney again, they were winning everything.
Yeah.
I wish someone would think of the big strong guys because they do just actually get picked off in these shows. Now, quite often, traditionally, they make it quite far through and then they fall at the final hurdle. Has a big strong dude ever won? Oh, there was Jesse Chook.
Sam Wallace. But Jesse Chook,
he was a whippet. He was a whippet, yeah. He doesn't count. Well, should we just have a big buff boys season?
There would definitely be some full-on aggression and competitiveness that we haven't seen before.
It's horrible. It's the worst season you've ever seen.
It's unwatchable.
I want to apologise, James, because I feel like early on I did not pick you as a winner. And this was partially also because you had sunblock in your eye on the day that I interviewed you, and you would not stop weeping. And I was like, you're going to get eaten alive. So I would like to formally apologise for that.
You.
We all have sunblock in our eyes sometimes.
That's right. It was horrible. I was weeping all day.
It was really intense.
What's the environment like? Because when I think of you, I think of you as a person who watches a lot of television and is quite an urban gentleman.
Yeah.
And I don't really think of you as sort of gone bush for 3 weeks.
Mm.
How did you adapt to that environment? And do I have you wrong in terms of the bushman, James?
No, you're right. I've never been camping. I hated school camp. All of those things were the only reason I did it is just because I love the show so much. But otherwise, I never would have handled it. But I just had to keep telling myself, it's just another day. It's TV. It'll be good to watch when we get back.
And now you are a bona fide celebrity. I want that to be absolutely clear. But that for a lot of your kind of career and your comedy, you spent a lot of time kind of on the outside talking about making fun of celebrities to suddenly be in the midst of it all. I mean, how did you adapt to that change?
Yeah, it was weird. I wish there was someone like Sue Nicholson, or we all thought Paula Bennett was going to be on for some reason, but that would have been good. I would have really sunk my teeth into that. But, you know, most of them are really nice, so it was kind of hard. When I watch, because I can't remember anything I said on the when I was there, and so when I watch it, I'm really surprised. I was watching the poll thing, and when I was it's been 50 minutes, and I was like, what? Well, I don't think it was 50 in the end. In that second last episode. Anyway, I surprised myself, but sorry, I can't even remember the question.
Was it weird becoming a celebrity?
Having made fun of celebrities most of your career.
Yeah, it was.
Is it nice to be one now?
Look, I don't think I'm a celeb in any shape or form.
You just won Celebrity Treasure Island. I mean, the shoe fits.
It's in the name.
I really, you know, I just wanted to meet some celebs. I just wanted to meet Drew Nemia, and then here I am.
I have to ask this question, and this is kind of quite a serious journalistic question, but now that you are a celebrity, the clue is in the name, Celebrity Treasure Island, as Duncan rightly pointed out. There might be another James Musterpeck out there just sharpening his claws, ready to do to you what you have been doing to other celebrities for so many years. How does that make you feel?
Look, I'm into it. I'm into it. Bring it on.
Even more seriously, you talked about OCD and anxiety as being sort of big parts of your life and things that you kind of were concerned about going in. How did you, were they features of the show for you? And how did you sort of, because like what was the show in terms of its relationship with your sort of mental health?
Yeah, it was, I mean, oh yeah, look, the OCD, it's manifest in many different forms, but I mean, I definitely like being clean and I have very kind of specific sleeping arrangements and things. So that was all, yeah, it was very hard. But you do adapt. And as I said, it kind of did make me think I can handle it now. I've done it in, on an island. I can do it again, you know.
It's a life-changing experience, especially for you having won it.
It is. Yeah, it's cool.
Can I ask a question about winning it? And sorry, this is another serious question. Someone bring in a funny one soon. But your charity, being gender minorities, winning $100,000 for them, but also being able to talk about, you know, trans and non-binary people in prime time in a positive way, it's been a pretty rough year, particularly for that community. I mean, how important was that?
Yeah, it's amazing. I feel really, I feel so happy I chose them because, yeah, it's sort of, that was back in Feb. And then, you know, before all the bloody Posey Parker shit and all that jazz. And, yeah, as you say, it has been a rough year. So, I feel so stoked. Gender Minorities Aotearoa are a small charity. So I feel really glad that they'll be getting big cash injection.
And do they know yet? Like, are they about to find out tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they know.
That's wild.
So for transparency, we're talking to James just before the show airs this evening.
I haven't heard from them once, actually. Come to think of it.
Because you did propose a different charity, remember, on the final episode.
You haven't seen it, have you?
No.
He's not seen it, and he's forgotten everything.
You come up with this, and I was trying to think of it, because it was a really great-sounding charity. It's basically about, do either of you remember it?
Yeah. The people who make hard puzzles.
Yeah. And just like targeting them for the rest of your life with all your energy. So any regrets about choosing gender minorities? Aotearoa.
Huge regrets. Yeah, look, I didn't know. I didn't even know. I had to wait for like 10 days. The day that I won my first charity challenge was the day I found out that they had approved letting me have them as their charity. So for ages, I was like, I don't know who my charity is. We had to like pitch a couple. So yeah.
Really? Like they choose. Like so there is a list of good and bad charities, like I've been saying on this podcast for a long time.
My number one pick.
I think there's a list of good and bad celebrities representing you as well. So they have to give the charities an option to like maybe not want to be represented.
Don't want your money.
How did your mum react to the news, James? I imagine Janet must have been very excited.
Janet, she like was so convinced that I would go home early that she was theorising like they must keep everyone till the end. That's why he hasn't contacted me. Like after they get eliminated, they must keep them in a hotel or whatever and they can't use their phone. And then, yeah, I told her I'm in top three and she hasn't seen the episode. She genuinely does not know. And last night I watched last night's episode with her and she's flying back to Dunedin today and she was like, yeah, I'm not going to see her. I've got singing practice.
classic numbers.
Excuse me. So I did. I was very upset and now she's going to watch it. So sorry to all the singing.
She's going to watch it on Plus One, eh?
Yeah.
Have you got like a Janet cam set up for the big reaction?
That would be good. I should have done that. She doesn't know how to use any sort of technology, though.
It's not too late. You can find
you
someone.
You can get like a court sketch artist to do something, maybe. I do want to point out as well that tarot reading is real because the tarot card I pulled for you represented success, breakthroughs, mental clarity, a card often interpreted as a sign you are stepping into your next phase of potency and ready for battle.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what's not real. The cookie readings that went on, which I chose the hundreds and thousands cookie and I got bloody roasted for it.
You did. Here for a good time, not a long time, I believe, right. Was the feedback from the judges.
It's funny. We all, as a cast, read through those tarot things and it was very funny. Some of them were very accurate. And I'm pretty sure Jordan and Jazz might have got like the death card or something.
They both got the death card. And then 2 seconds after he pulled it, Jordan's gazebo took flight and nearly beamed him across the head. And I was like, I've unlocked something too powerful.
I don't think you realise the power that you have, because it's not just the reading, it's in the reader, right? Like you, not anyone can just pull out a pack of cards and predict the future, but you can.
It's true. I did print out a PDF, so.
That's got a common economising though.
Yeah, I think you said in the piece, but I don't believe in any of that shenanigans, but I was so scared pulling that, like, what if I get a really bad card?
Yeah.
Speaking of the cards, those little cards that you had to play.
Yes.
Yeah, so do you still have them? Are they in your possession?
Yes, I think I have. Yeah, I do.
Mm. Okay, just interesting. Wondering if they might have another home they might want to go to.
One of them.
One's fine.
How much stuff did you bring back? It sounds like you've just got like a grab bag of
I got my laundry sign prize that I won. I brought that back, put in the laundry. I made buffs. I got all of them. Yeah.
So you've got your own museum, essentially. Yeah.
Wow, we've got competition. Well,
or you know how at museums like acquire like the personal collection of like a really important collector upon their death? Not that we're wishing on that, you know, but we are the Real Pod Museum, a very important institution that will outlast us all.
If so, you are writing a will at any point, that is something just to bear in mind, that there is a place that you can trust that will be all protected and given the reverence it deserves.
I'll bring you some stuff in. When I left, I was like, I'll bring in some real pods and stuff.
You were thinking of us.
Yeah, I was.
So, James, the show has now aired all but the last episode, so you haven't got the kind of burst of being the winner. But what does it do to, like, are there sort of metrics, like whether they're, you know, social media, like how has your life changed since being on screen? Basically playing the narrator for such a long, 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 long
time.
Did
you screen grab the number of followers you had prior to going into season airing?
I think I kind of had like 3,000 or something.
How many
now? I have 5,000. Oh, so
nearly doubled.
You know.
And who knows what might happen after tonight?
That's true.
We'll be keeping a close eye.
Huge. Yeah, I don't know, but I think hopefully, you know.
Like, have you got a show coming out? I know there's the big charity kind of extravaganza, which I'm going to. I think Jane might be going to as well. But, I've just paid money for it. I just bought tickets, you know. But
I feel like he's a winner and he can know.
Yeah, I mean, it's for charity, so, you know. But good on you. Good on you, Jane.
You got to shine, Jane.
Like, have you got a show booked anytime soon? Like, it'd be good to kind of test what the the new crowd is, whether they get you.
True, yes. It's a good point. Yeah, I'm doing a couple shows around New Zealand.
Let's plug them.
Dunedin in November. Can't remember the dates. Check it out on my Instagram. Wellington, can't remember the dates. 16th of November, maybe? Christchurch. See you there, Alex.
November 11th. Cornies are buying the tickets in bulk. Yes. Very excited.
I've seen they are good ticket sales, actually. So, yes. And then, next year I've got a show coming to TVNZ Plus.
What?
Ooh.
Yeah. Can you tell us anything about it? Or
I'm kind of allowed to. It's a show about finding my mum a man.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I love this.
So
it's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Is it reality TV-ish?
Kind of, yeah.
Could we recap that?
Well, yes.
I don't want to spoil, but I will say there's one of your fave celebs makes an appearance in the show.
Kelvin Cruickshank.
Colin. Not Mike.
Mike Pudding.
Colin.
That's an odd choice for her, but you know.
It's perfect.
Takes all sorts.
Yeah.
Have you got? Have you got? You're a corny. Let's be clear.
Yes.
Let's be clear that you're a legit corny, yeah. Not someone who jumped into the corner.
Not a
after
corny
you
come
got,
lately.
Not a corny come that's lately right. Who jumped in after being cast and knowing that that's where all the action was. You were already there.
Not a corny
not
who
a
only
Jamesy
knows,
come corny.
All of them.
Not a corny who goes in the Discord only when he wants to promote his One News articles.
Who does that?
Maddie McLean.
Oh!
Yes. Calling you out.
To be fair, Maddie McLean was in the Discord all throughout his season as well.
Yeah, but what
so
now?
It remains to be seen if you just get in there every now and again and promote your comedy shows. Well, so jury's out on that. But do you have a message for your, I don't want to say that cornies, they're your fellow cornies.
Oh, well, I'm really, really grateful for all of the lovely comments and messages. It's been very, very special. I was just so excited to go on the show, and I never really could have dreamed of having a better experience on it. So it was very lovely. And yes, I'll be back next season. I'll be in the Discord.
You have to now.
And
you
know, said. I also, no, I don't know. Never mind.
No, say
it. It.
Well, I know that some of the cornies were really wanted an all-women final, and I felt, you know, bad a little bit when we were in the top three. I was like, oh. But I had to try. It's my favourite show ever, and if I didn't try, you know, what would have been the point?
James, please, like, you know, I don't think, like, the woman want it just handed to them by some, like, nice
yes.
man. They want to, like, grab it out of your hands and stamp on your face. And
that's
it didn't
right.
happen this time, but it will.
It will, I reckon.
I don't think any corny's holding anything against you. I think they're all going to be incredibly, incredibly proud of you. We're very proud of you. Thank you so much for making the time to come here. Your first interview
right.
as the winner of Celebrity Treasure Island, James Musselberg.
Yes.
Honestly, what a hero.
Thank you, guys. So sweet.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
From the Spin-Off Podcast Network, you've been listening to The Real Pod, hosted by me, Jane Yee, along with Alex Casey and, most of the time, Duncan Grieve. Our producers are Tiahe Butler and Samuel Robinson. Thanks for listening.
Hello for Lover, I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Tiahe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.